All rise. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, draw nigh and give your attention, for this court is now in session. God save these United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. We are here to hear the case of Singleton versus Secretary. Are counsel ready to proceed? Would counsel for the appellant state his name for the record?
Court, please. Kenneth Carpenter, counsel here in the court.
Good afternoon. And for the government?
Shanti Hagan, Secretary with me. Department.
Very well. Mr. Carpenter, you have 30 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. Court, please. I'd like to reserve 10 minutes.
Okay. You may proceed.
May it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. George Singleton.
I'd like to ask you a question before you start.
Okay.
You were counsel in Reisenstein, correct?
I was, sir.
As I read through the decision in Reisenstein, it said that your client had been granted a temporary total disability rating from March of 98 to May of 99, and that he had been admitted to the hospital.
I do not believe that that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, you answered my question.
I believe that what Judge Hagel was referring to was that, as I understood the opinion, that under 3.343, because the rating is for less than 5 years, it is considered an assignment of a temporary total rating, as opposed to the assignment of a total rating, either permanent under 3.341, or a stabilized rating under 3.344.
So it was not a rating provided for hospital, surgical, or home treatment?
No.
Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. And you said you believe that's what Judge Hagel was referring to?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's strictly my extrapolation from reading.
So it wasn't a temporary 100% rating because of hospitalization?
No, sir, it was not. And that is clear from the record, and that issue was discussed before the Federal Circuit and clarified in that proceeding that this was a rating that was assigned as part of the staged rating. Mm-hmm. Now, in this matter, however, Your Honor,
who termed it temporary? Where does that come from?
I frankly do not know, Your Honor. It was a phrase that was used by Judge Hagel in as author of the opinion in Reisenstein versus Peek, and frankly, it took me a while to fully understand what it was that he was referring to, because clearly it was not a temporary total rating under paragraph 29.
Did it make you wonder why you were arguing under 343, if it was? Anyway, yes. That was going to be my question. You understand. Go ahead.
Or why you aren't arguing under 3.43 now?
Well, because I've already lost
the
issue.
Yeah, you already lost that one.
Not once, but twice. And even I eventually get it, Your Honor.
That does deal with total disability.
It does, Your Honor.
All right.
It does. However, in this case, we are dealing with a question of regulatory interpretation of 38 CFR 3.344, subsections A through C. In 3.344, we have a substantially different regulation than we do in 3.343. It is different in several ways, but in the most important way, in the way that is most relevant to the disposition of this appeal, is that 3.344 is in fact a retrospective regulation. By its terms, it requires the VA to consider, based upon an examination, whether or not, when viewed based upon the entirety of the history, there is evidence of sustained improvement. The terminology used in 3.343 is material improvement, and the triggering event or the threshold event that requires consideration of 3.344 is whether or not there is, first, a stabilized rating. For reasons that I cannot explain, the VA's regulation does not define a stabilized rating until subsection C. We understand that a stabilized rating from subsection C tells us that subsections A and B will not apply unless we are dealing with a rating that has been in place for a period of 5 years or more. What also distinguishes this regulation from 3.343 is 3.343 is limited to the stabilization of a rating that is a, deals with a rating that is a total rating. 3.344 deals with the stabilization of any rating at the same level.
I thought the difference, frankly, was that in 3.343, it would not be reduced without examination. And I thought the Federal Circuit focused very heavily on, underlined, et cetera, that particular aspect of the regulation, and then went through its discussion to say basically, you know, when you're doing a staged rating after the fact, requiring the examination wasn't going to make any sense. But in 3.344, it's totality of the record.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's what makes this a retrospective regulation, because it requires at the time in which this regulation is to be applied.
So you're basically arguing for two things, as I understand it. One, that the rating agency needs to do this in the first instance, and two, that there's a standard established in this. Or are you arguing both those?
Well, I have to confess to Your Honor that my initial take is that this was something that was required to be done by the agency. But in preparation, or in the first instance, but in preparation for this argument and in re-examining or more closely examining the language of 3.344 and the record, I'm not sure that the agency either needs to do it or that the board is prohibited from doing it in the first instance. And the reason that I say that is that the triggering event or the threshold event is an examination.
Where?
Well, it says examination reports indicating improvement in A. That is the triggering event. When the VA receives an examination that indicates improvement, that's when 3.344 comes into play if the evaluation has been stabilized, and we learn that stabilization is in place for 5 or more years. In this case, when the board assigned a rating, and it would be immaterial what that rating was, but in this case it was a 100% rating, they could not modify that rating without giving attention first to the requirements of 3.344.
Excuse me. 3.344, you just said it says examination reports indicating improvement. Is it your position that that's a VA examination, or could it be other private medical records?
I think it's possible that it could be other private medical records if those private medical records were a thorough review of the veteran's condition. And by that, I mean that the regulation specifically talks about whether or not the examination is less than full and complete. So the criteria for a private examination, similar to the examination that would be sufficient under, I can't remember the statute name, for showing a condition is service-connected, can be accepted as. The same circumstance, I believe, would potentially apply here if it were a full and complete examination. The problem, however, factually in this record, is that this record contains no such examinations. In fact, if I could draw the court's attention to the record, the VA, or excuse me, the board, in its decision at pages 12...
What about the September 92 independent medical examination?
Well, and that examination is not an examination that I believe qualifies under this regulation. And even if it were, that would be the triggering event for this regulation. And in fact, what the board did was to assign an effective date based upon a Social Security decision. There were three records that were considered by the board.
But was the Social Security decision not based on something?
Of course it was, Your Honor.
And what was that?
whatever it is that Social Security makes its determinations on.
Was that available to the board?
I beg your pardon?
And that was available to the board?
It was, Your Honor. The question is whether or not a Social Security a Social Security decision would constitute a full and complete examination to trigger 3.344. My position is that it would not be, and it could not be, because it is not an examination that was intended to review the full and complete context of the veteran's condition. And in fact, the Social Security determination focused on a single dynamic, which was whether or not he did or did not have substantial gainful activity.
Well, how about you would contemplate that in 2006 there could be a medical examination of an individual with a mental problem to determine what his or her condition was in 1992?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm in 2006.
If the board assessed a rating.
Oh, I see.
You see?
But that's...
And you're saying they should have done an examination.
No. I'm not saying they should do an examination. I'm saying the only way that they can act is if there is an examination in the record. There is no full and complete examination in the record.
So if there's no complete examination in the record that would cover that time period, there would not have been a basis to
trigger
100%.
That's right. And therefore, the 100% must remain. Because if we read the plain language of the regulation, it says that the rating agencies are to handle cases affected by a change in medical findings so as to produce the greatest degree
of... But in order to apply the VA practice of stage ratings, it would seem that would follow my question in terms of, in order for them to do stage ratings, they would then have to, at some time in the future, order an examination that would go back to that specific period.
No, Your Honor, because what all they are doing in a stage rating is determining what the evidence was at the time.
Okay, so it's a crystal ball effect based upon the totality of the record is what was available to the rater at the time to make a determination as to whether or not there was sufficient medical examination information to assess the rating.
Well, Your Honor, I think there's two separate things going on here. There is the stage grading, whereas in this case, the board failed to recognize a pending claim, and this claim had to be sent back for adjudication of that pending claim. And
so we all know that when there is a final determination, then you go back to the date of claim for purposes of effective date.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so based on ascertainable information, you determine on stage ratings what the individual's condition was from the time of the application to the time of the decision.
That's correct.
As an initial rating.
And when, as in the circumstances in this case, the VA assigns an evaluation that continues at the same level for more than 5 years, the provisions of 3.44 are implicated. The VA cannot be permitted to simply ignore their own regulation and say, under the guise of staged ratings, we don't have to apply it. And that is essentially the VA's position in this case.
I'd like to talk about the purpose of this regulation. I believe in Reisenstein and O'Connell, they talked about these sort of look-back protections are to protect the veteran who has become dependent on this income stream from loss of it based on perhaps temporary level of improvement.
Correct.
Why does that not also apply in 3.344 as a purpose?
Because of 3.344C. which defines what a stabilized rating is. And this regulation talks about whether a condition is subject to temporary or intermittent episodes of improvement. And it specifically cautions that, moreover, though material improvement in the physical or mental condition is clearly reflected in the rating agency will consider whether the evidence makes it reasonably certain that the improvement will be maintained under the ordinary conditions of life.
So if anything, it seems like it is even more in line with that stated purpose in Reisenstein and O'Connell, that we're not going to take away a veteran's benefits who has gotten used to these based on a blip their condition. So again, to me, I'm having a hard time seeing why the fact that it's 5 years versus 100% makes any sort of difference in what the purpose or applicability to stage ratings is.
Because what the Federal Circuit said was that the VA's position, they adopted the VA's position that 3.343 was a prospective regulation and not a retrospective regulation. And had it been a retrospective regulation, then as a retrospective regulation, then it would have had to have been considered as part of the retrospective stage rating process. As a consequence...
I don't know that... I'd like to challenge your statement that this is a retrospective evaluation.
Fine.
I know that it does speak for somebody who has a rating in place for 5 years, but it's talking about cutting off benefits going forward. So why is that not a prospective application?
Well, that's the effect, if is prospective, but the requirement of this regulation is to make a retrospective consideration of the entire history. At least three different times in this regulation, the VA talks about reviewing the single examination to determine whether or not that examination is consistent with the entire history. And that before they take any action based upon a single examination. And that's what differs in 3.343 and 3.344. The goal in 3.344 is whether material improvement has been shown.
That's also mentioned in 3.343.
But the guiding principle here is whether or not there is sustained improvement. And the material improvement is simply acknowledged that there may be evidence of material improvement, but the goal of the regulation, the express direction of the regulation, is to review to determine whether or not it is reasonably certain that the improvement will be maintained under the ordinary conditions of life. Now, in this particular case, the problem for the VA in doing its retrospective evaluation for stage rating purposes is, having ignored this pending claim for more than 20 years, they were stuck with their own record. And that record does not contain a contemporaneous examination that would allow for, that would permit the reduction or the change in a stabilized rating. And once they determined that that stabilized rating should be in place for a period of more than 5 years, then they were stuck with their own regulation, which prohibits the reduction unless they are able to apply it, and the only way to apply it is if there is an examination. So what this court would have to do would be to find that a 1992 letter was an examination from Mr. Singleton's treating doctor, or interrogatory sent in March of 1995 were an examination, or that a Social Security decision from 1996 was an examination.
But if they had determined he was 100% at the beginning of the application, under your argument, in the assessment or in the assignment of stage ratings, once you reached 100%, if there is no examination from 1980 until 2006, the 100% has to stay.
If I could qualify... that
without
characterization,
looking at symptoms or anything else.
It's if there is a stabilized rating. In this case, that rating is 100%. But let's assume that they had assigned a rating of 70% for a period of more than 5 years. This regulation applies equally to a rating of 70 or 50 or 30 or even 10. And they are not allowed to alter that.
Well, how could they increase to 70%? Would they have to have an examination for that?
Oh no, there's no prohibition for increase.
What would be the basis for that? For the initial assignment. Now we're talking about his not having been assigned a rating at all for any of this period.
But Your Honor, that's precisely what they
were
required
to do. You're saying the 5 years
to
takes place once they make an assignment for the first time. If it covers a 10-year period, that's the 5-year period that you're talking about under 3.344?
When they do a stage grading under the Fenderson criteria and their representation that this was a VA practice, assuming that it was a VA practice, and that's been adopted, that it was a VA practice to do this type of stage rating analysis. When they went back and did that, they determined that for a period of nearly 10 years, he was entitled to a 100% rating. That triggered the application of 3.44 because under 3.344C, it became a stabilized evaluation. That stabilized evaluation may not be altered unless you comply with the requirements of 3.344. In the board's decision in
this... But how can you, and that goes back to my first question, how can you comply with 3.344 if you're in the process of assigning initial stage ratings for a 20-year period?
Because, Your Honor, that's what you do in stage ratings. You assign ratings.
But if you had no examination during that period, you're saying you're stuck with it.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because you cannot reduce it. And they are stuck with the record. They withheld benefits from Mr. Singleton for a period of more than 20 years. And when he finally got his award, they assigned the effective date based upon a date more than 20 years later. He had to appeal that effective date. This court agreed that he was entitled to an effective date and ordered the board to apply stage ratings. When the board applied the stage ratings, they found for a period of more than 5 years, he had a stabilized rating. Once they did that, 3.344 was implicated.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Shanti Hageman, counsel for the secretary. With me at counsel's table, Brian Ripple. Good afternoon, Your Honor. The key issue before the court is whether Regulation 3.344 applies to staged ratings. This afternoon, the Secretary will demonstrate that it does not, when the regulatory history indicates that 3.344 does not contemplate staged ratings, because the Reisenstein principles absolutely apply to 3.344, and more specifically, because there was not a reduction of appellant's disability rating. Your Honors, 3.344's history unambiguously reflects that it does not apply to retrospective staged ratings. The history of the regulation's language going back to the 1940 service letter contains the following language that is similar to the current version of 3.344. It is essential to review the entire medical history and medical industrial evidence to ascertain whether the recent examination is full and complete. The historical focus on a recent examination indicates that a recent change in medical condition serves as the basis for a reduction under 3.344. 3.344 has always contained the provision that its safeguards apply to stabilized ratings, which have continued for long periods at the same level, 5 years or more. So this requirement, by its plain language, would not apply to staged ratings, because a stabilized rating is one that's been in effect and continued.
What do you say about the fact that if you're using the crystal ball and you're looking at the 20-year period and then you say, okay, well, during this 10-year period, he's at 100%. And then the next 10-year period, he's at 70%. So that is a reduction, isn't it?
It's the Secretary's position that that is not a reduction.
Why isn't that 10-year period of stabilization? Period.
Because given the nature of stage ratings, like in this case where we had a 100% rating and then a 70% rating, the board was accounting for the dynamic nature of the rating and did have the crystal ball, as appellant has admitted in his motion for reconsideration, the record was complete.
I thought you were saying that because the board was rendering the decision today, even though it covered a 10-year period, the rating was only in effect for the day. Is that not what you were saying? In other words, they awarded him. Go ahead.
Yes, Your Honor. 3.344 kicks in as of the grant date, and that 5-year period begins as of that grant date.
Okay, so I just want to get the Secretary's position.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let's say you get 6 years awarded. and 2 years later the secretary wants to reduce the award. The secretary's view is, even though it's an independent action now starting 2 years later, that the rating was not in effect for 5 years?
Yes, Your Honor, because the veteran was not relying on the disability payments for the previous years.
Is that only in the context of a staged rating where it might have gone up or down, or if it's an initial assignment of ratings that happened to have taken 7 years or whatever to reach, and then that person is ultimately awarded a benefit, does that clock start on that day as well?
It's the secretary's position that that would start on that date because that is the date that the veteran would be relying on those ratings.
So it's no different than if he was awarded 100% for the entire time, 20 years, because it took 20 years to process the claim. And 2 years later, you wanted to change it. It's only been in effect for 2 years.
That would still be the position.
Now, you mentioned that the regulation doesn't reference, throughout its entire history, doesn't reference staged ratings. Are there actually any regulations that specifically reference staged ratings?
Not that the secretary could find. We've only had Fenderson since 1999, so it makes sense that 3.344 does not contemplate staged ratings.
Right, but supposedly Fenderson was implementing something that was a longstanding agency practice.
Yes, Your Honor.
The absence of reference of staged ratings in this particular regulation, I don't think is particularly illuminating in that it's not referenced anywhere in the regulations, and it is something that the agency does do. You see my point?
I understand your point. But it's the Secretary's position, Your Honor, that the plain language of the statute, in addition to the pre-Fenderson policy and post-Fenderson policy, that it's forward-looking, the ordinary circumstances of life, the recent examination, these are things that contemplate a recent change in medical condition. And the assertion that there's a conflict between the regulation and staged ratings, it's the Secretary's position that that's unfounded. I think Appellant and the Secretary agree that these are mutually operating phenomena. Retrospective ratings assign staged ratings for separate periods based on the facts found, and 3.344 protects prospective or current ratings. Perhaps, Your Honor?
I'm wondering, in O'Connell, the Secretary argued at oral argument that 3.343 and 3.344 applied in a stage rating context. So just to clarify, that is no longer, or that was a blip?
That was a blip. The Secretary is not bound by counsel's statement at O'Connell.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Reisenstein. Reisenstein is instructive because of the parallels between regulations 3.343, protecting continued total ratings, and 3.344, protecting stabilized ratings. There are many similar aspects to the regulations. While 3.343 did not appear until in its current version until 1968, the regulations both appeared as 3.343 and 3.344 on the same date, February 24, 1961. Indeed, the court has cited to the regulations together as providing greater protection in rating reduction cases in Faust and specific criteria when reducing in O'Connell. Both regulations serve to protect a special class of veterans. Appellant suggested in his principal brief that Reisenstein held that 3.343 does not protect a special class of veterans. However, this court explicitly held that 3.343 did protect a special class of veterans of which Mr. Reisenstein was not a part. The Secretary would submit that the same is true with Mr. Singleton and 3.344 and his staged ratings. The Secretary acknowledges that the facts in Reisenstein were somewhat different, and 3.343 protects a different class of veterans. However, the policy considerations that the court accepted in Risenstein apply equally to Mr. Singleton's case in Regulation 3.344. In Risenstein, the courts observed that 3.343 protects payments that veterans come to rely on, as Your Honor mentioned, and that, by contrast, stage ratings amounted to back pay, as this court articulated, or compensation for a past period, as the Federal Circuit put it. 3.344 also protects veterans who have the benefit of a stabilized rating from an arbitrary reduction. In this case, as in Risenstein, the stage ratings entitled Mr. Singleton to back pay. In both cases, the board sought to ensure that the veteran was properly compensated through stage ratings for various periods of PTSD severity during the pendency of an appeal.
If we don't use 3.344, the full and complete medical examination, what does the VA look at in order, what standard do they use to decide when a rating should be lowered in the context of a stage rating?
Well, Your Honor, first and foremost, and I think the board did an adequate job of looking at this through a sympathetic lens and assigning the highest ratings possible given the totality of the circumstances. Here we did have the 1995 medical evidence and the Social Security evidence, and it came down to a 70% and a 100% rating. The board acknowledged that his psychiatric symptoms were severe and had enough evidence to if the board had felt that there was analyzed and felt that there was a need for more evidence, it would have referred back to the RO. And as the court pointed out in O'Connell, the veteran was free to submit additional evidence to the board at any time and then have the appellate review to this court.
So is it using the same tools and standards that it would use in applying or reducing a rating in the first instance, or if it was not stabilized or whatever?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The courts in both O'Connell and Risenstein voiced apprehension about imposing unnecessary procedure on VA's ability to assign dynamic staged ratings. Here, in 2006, the court reversed and remanded appellant's claim to the board without referring the matter to the RO because the claim had been pending since at least 1981 and this route afforded the greatest efficiency. To require that the court refer the claim back to the board for further development would create further delay and unnecessary procedure. What's more, Risenstein and O'Connell suggest that inserting such procedure would have a discouraging effect on the board's ability to assign nuanced staged ratings.
Well, wait a minute. let me make sure I understand what you just said in terms of the purported remedy.
Yeah.
It would be returned for them to do what? For the board to do what?
As Chief Judge, as he said earlier, I was just getting at the fact that by inserting this extra procedure would cause unnecessary delay by referring it back, as in this case where we don't have a recent examination, in applying 3.344. We would have to likely get another examination, which wouldn't be helpful, and as Your Honor pointed out earlier, might result in overcompensation where the veteran was compensated for 100%.
I just want to be clear. Is the Secretary conceding that the examination, the IME examination, was not sufficient? Because the board found that it was.
No, Your Honor. Secretary is not conceding that. However, if 3.344 were to kick in prospectively, if we were dealing with a case where we were analyzing 3.344's applicability prospectively, the board would have to look at the totality of the evidence.
Well, I thought, let's assume it applies, just for argument's sake. The board found on page 16 that it was complied with. They cite to the September 16 of the 1237 of the ROP. The SSA reports, the September 92 examination, the reports of Dr. Beaton provide examination findings showing sustained improvement, ability to work under the ordinary conditions of life. The records are at least as detailed as those upon which the board is awarded the initial 100%. So even if it does apply, I guess I'm trying to clarify. Are you saying that if it does apply, we'd have to remand it and the board would have to remand it, or the board seems like they already applied it? So the question, as Mr. Carpenter was saying, he doesn't think they applied it correctly.
It's the Secretary's position that this would cover, this would satisfy 3.344, the concerns that the board is looking at the totality of the evidence and could be reasonably certain that the 70% rating, the improvement based on the SSA reports and the medical examination will be sustained until the end of that period.
I started this, but let me finish it, because it's sort of like I was operating on the premise, at least from the appellant, that really, at this point, there wouldn't be an examination. I mean, you wouldn't return it for an examination, because really 3.344 says, it's because it was in existence for 5 years, it was stabilized, and therefore, if there was no examination to show improvement, then you're stuck with it.
Yes, Chief Judge, and we do have the benefit of the crystal ball, right, and we know. So the Secretary would also submit that this case does not involve a rating reduction. The idea that appellant is seeking a restoration of a 100% rating or that there was any reduction in disability at all was a red herring. Appellant suggests that he actually possessed a 100% rating from November 1991 to December 2000. To be clear, the board set a nuanced set of staged ratings in the first instance. In the first instance means that these ratings took effect as of that grant date. And staged ratings, as the courts set forth in Risenstein and O'Connell, by their very nature, are retrospective. And as our brief argued, it is difficult to see where a reduction took place when prior to the recent board decisions, appellant was not service connected for any period prior to 2001. So what does the Secretary urge? In O'Connell, the court refused to conflate staged ratings with another procedural safeguard, 3.105E. When the appellant left the appellate process with greater compensation than when he entered, the Secretary would urge that the same result applies here.
Did you just say 3.105E applies?
No, Your Honor. I said that the result that the court came to, that the analysis surrounding 3.105E and the court's reluctance to conflate 3.105E with staged ratings applies with equal force to 3.344. Finally, Regulation 3.344's inapplicability to stage ratings does not excuse the board from supplying adequate reasons and bases for those decisions. Because the board conceded the severity of appellant symptoms under the pre and post 1996 rating criteria, the rating in question hinged largely on appellant's social and occupational impairment. And I think that the Secretary's gone through why the board acted within its purview and why there was a plausible basis for the 70% rating. So if your honors have no further questions, the Secretary will conclude. Based on the legislative history and recent holdings in Risenstein, The Secretary urges the court to hold that Regulation 3.344 does not apply to staged ratings, and similarly to affirm the board decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Carpenter, I'm intrigued by the Secretary's third argument, the red herring argument. If your client had been awarded 100% for the entire period,
right,
and 2 years later the Secretary wanted to reduce that, got a medical exam, would they be able to reduce that?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. And speaking of red herrings, because...
I mean, we see a lot of... Let me just give you my background. I see a lot of cases up here where ratings are given for a period over 5 years. In every case where the Secretary gives a rating and it covers a five-year period, you're arguing that this regulation applies and it's been in effect for 5 years, even though they want to reduce it 2 years from now?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I'm sorry, but I didn't write the reg. They wrote the reg. The reg says what the reg says. You don't reduce a stabilized rating on one examination, and it certainly requires one examination, and then that examination has to be compared to the entire history.
But would it be in effect for 5 years?
Of course it would be in effect for 5 years, Your Honor. When I challenged the amount of compensation paid on retroactive benefits, this court and the Federal Circuit ruled that what was paid retrospectively was paid retrospectively as at the rates that were in existence at the time in which those rates applied. That's precisely what happens when you award past due benefits. When you award past due benefits, the notion that somehow you don't actually have an award until they say you have an award is absurd. What that does is it rewards the VA for its error, and then...
So you're saying if they awarded it for some period over 5 years, they're recognizing it was stabilized, even though it's in the initial rating, et cetera, and therefore they can't reduce it unless it complies with this?
Correct, because they were the ones that defined what a stabilized rating was. 3.344 defines stabilized rating as a rating in place at any degree of severity for a period of 5 years or more. When the VA does that, whether it's in an initial rating or it's in a staged rating or it's because they appealed the case to the board and the board disagreed that the rating should be one thing but should be another rating for a period of 5 years or more, then the provisions of 3.344 have to
apply. Looking at O'Connell, if we start from the concept of when somebody is awarded a staged rating that goes up and then goes down and then ultimately goes back up, that's not a rating reduction because they came out at the end with more than they walked in with. There's no reduction, so that takes 3.344 off the table, because if they haven't been reduced, the procedures on how to reduce don't apply.
Well, with respect, Your Honor, that's a legal fiction that is imagined by the court to apply.
But it is a precedent that we have.
But a precedent that was not based upon whether or not 3.344 was applicable. 3.344 is applicable in this case because the board made a decision that for a period of more than 5 years, Mr. Singleton had a stabilized rating.
So
once that flag goes up, the VA cannot play the ostrich and stick its head in the hole and say 3.344 goes away. But that's precisely what they stood up here and told you.
So stage ratings under 3.343 are retrospective, are prospective.
Prospective, yeah.
And under 3.344, they're retrospective.
That's correct. Because 3.343 looks at whether or not an examination shows material improvement. That's looking prospectively. That's what Reisenstein at the Federal Circuit teaches. When we read 3.3...
Improvement when, though?
Beg your pardon?
Improvement during the stage ratings?
During the relevant period of the stage ratings. That's correct, Your Honor.
So, isn't that what they're doing under 3.344?
No, because you have a different trigger. You have a different threshold event that takes place. Under 3.343, it's merely the assignment of... I'm sorry.
No. You're assessing the situation to determine improvement, aren't you? When you're doing the stage ratings?
No, you're determining what the appropriate rating is to be assigned at various periods.
So
over,
has it improved or not?
No, Your Honor. It's not a question of improvement. It's a question of what the appropriate rating is that should be assigned. And when you make the determination that the appropriate rating has stabilized, then you have to apply 3.344.
So under 3.343, if you had a stage rating that then said covered a 5-year period.
Correct.
Then 3.344 kicks in. So
that's correct. But it is not an application of 3.343 because it's...
So those two regulations should be working in harmony with one another.
Well, they do. They work in harmony up to the point that you meet the threshold for the 5-year because they're really looking at an examination that deals with material improvement. In 3.343, you're looking for material improvement prospectively. In 3.344, you're looking at material improvement in the context of the entire history. There is no burden under 3.343 to look at the entire history. It's only to look forward.
Excuse me. I believe 3.343 says examination reports showing material improvement must be evaluated in conjunction with all the facts of record, and consideration must be given to whether he can work has attained improvement. But all the facts of the record, to me, seems to include prior medical evidence.
I would respectfully disagree based upon what the Federal Circuit decided 3.343 meant in Reisenstein. What they decided 3.343 meant was is that it was looking prospectively as to whether or not there had been a material improvement to justify the reduction of a 100% rating. In the context of 3.344, the direction that is given is that you shall look to determine whether or not that single examination justifies sustained improvement. And I submit that the use of a different term from material improvement, particularly when they qualify material improvement in the regulation, although there may be evidence of material improvement, the regulation says, you have to ensure that based upon the entire history, there is evidence of sustained improvement. And you cannot determine sustained improvement without looking back. And that's the difference between 3.343
and 3.343. Where in the Federal Circuit are you referring to? What section? The Federal Circuit decision.
In that portion of the opinion that discusses why 3.343 is prospective. They describe 3.343 as prospective, at least as I understood the opinion, Your Honor.
Well, what's the part in the opinion that you understand that way?
Oh, I don't have the full text of the opinion with me here. So I can't cite for the specific section. I'll be happy to submit something. Well, unless there are any further questions, I think that covers all of the points that I wish to make. Thank you very much, Your Honor, for your time today.
Anything else?
No.
Very well. The case is submitted. The court will greet counsel and then adjourn.
All right. Order.